welcome to this special CertSecurity.com Intrusion Defense School podcast. I'm Billy Hurley, and it's great to have you with us. In this podcast, we'll learn what kind of role a read-only domain controller should have in an enterprise Windows Server 2008 environment. Joining me today is Beth Quinlan. Beth is a self-employed consultant, trainer, and project manager, specializing in Microsoft infrastructure technologies and security design for over 12 years. She authored the ISA Server 2006 Reviewer's Guide and worked with the Microsoft product team this year to produce a series of Windows Server 2008 Jumpstart clinics. Thanks for being here with us, Beth.
Thanks for having me, Billy.
Beth, what exactly is a read-only domain controller?
A read-only domain controller is a new type of domain controller in the Windows Server 2008 operating system. It hosts a read-only replica of the database in the Active Directory domain services for a specific or given domain.
Now, where would I deploy an RODC and why would I do it? In other words, what problems does an RODC mitigate?
Well, data security on lost or stolen PC devices, as well as on remotely located servers, is a big concern among security experts and corporate executives. The data that's stored on those systems is really often more valuable to the corporation than the asset itself. And the loss, the theft, or the unwanted disclosure of any of that data can be really damaging. In addition to that, we've got recent government regulations that focus on data protection and privacy. So the unregulated disclosure of the data that each of those laws or policy covers can be really damaging, with some of the regulations demanding stiff fines as well as the potential for custodial sentences for the offending executives. For this reason, many CEOs and board members are looking for solutions that will increase their protection around data as well as provide compliance. The problem of data protection also extends itself to where systems need to be decommissioned. The cost of securely decommissioning a machine or a device by using current methods can run into the hundreds or thousands of dollars per device. So the purpose of the RDC is to address many of those kinds of problems, many of which often exist in branch office deployments. Those locations, or the branch office locations, might not actually have a domain controller, or they might have one that is writable. So a writable domain controller is there, but they don't have physical security at the branch. Perhaps they don't have the network bandwidth or the local expertise to support it. So for that reason, the RODCs are designed to provide a way to deploy a domain controller more securely in those branch office locations, as well as in scenarios of extranets or where you have application-facing roles. They're designed to be placed in locations that require rapid, reliable, and robust authentication services, but that might also have a security limitation that prevents the deployment of the writable DC.
So, Beth, what has changed in the Active Directory environment to support these read-only domain controllers?
Well, to support the read-only domain controller password replication policy, the Windows Server 2008 Active Directory Domain Services has a number of new attributes. This password replication policy is a mechanism that is used to determine whether a user's credentials or a computer's credentials are allowed to replicate from the writable DC out to the RODC. The password replication policy is always set on the writable domain controller that's running Windows Server 2008. There are a number of new Active Directory Domain Services attributes that are added to the Windows Server 2008 Active Directory schema to support all of this.
So an RODC is a read-only copy of the Active Directory database. Are there any actual differences between the database on this machine and the database on a standard domain controller?
Well, really, there's one, except for account passwords. An RODC holds all of the Active Directory objects and attributes that a writable domain controller has. However, changes can't be made to the database that's stored on the RODC. They have to be made on the writable domain controller and then replicated back to the RODC. And this prevents a change that would otherwise be made at branch locations from polluting or corrupting the entire forest. Local applications that request read access to the directory can obtain access through this. Lightweight directory application protocol applications, or LDAP applications, that are requesting write access will receive an LDAP referral response. That response will direct them to a writable domain controller, which is normally at a hub site.
Now you mentioned that an RODC doesn't store passwords. How are credentials then handled?
The IODC uses what's called credential caching, which is a temporary storage of user or computer credentials. The credentials will consist of a small set of approximately 10 passwords that are associated with security principles. By default, the IODC does not store user or computer credentials. The exceptions in this case are the computer account of the IODC and a special Kerberos ticket granting account that each IODC has. You have to explicitly allow any other credential caching on an IODC. The IODC is advertised as the Key Distribution Center, or KDC, for the branch office. The IODC will use a different Kerberos ticket granting account and password than that that's used on the KDC itself on the writable domain controller. And so each of these is using a different account and password when it signs or encrypts the ticket granting ticket request. After an account is successfully authenticated, the IODC will attempt to contact a writable domain controller at the hub site and request a copy of the appropriate credentials. The writable domain controller recognizes that the request is coming from an IODC, and it consults the password replication policy in effect for that particular IODC. The password replication policy will determine if the user's credentials or the computer's credentials can be replicated from the writable DC out to the IODC. If it's allowed, the writable DC replicates the credentials out to the IODC, and then the IODC caches them. Now, after the credentials are cached on the IODC, it can directly service that user's logon request until those credentials change. When the TGT is signed with the Kerberos ticket granting account on the IODC, the IODC will recognize that it has cached copies of the credentials. And then if another domain controller signs a ticket granting ticket, the IODC will forward those requests out to the writable domain controller. So by limiting the credential caching only to users who have authenticated to the IODC directly, the potential exposure of credentials by a compromise of the IODC itself is very limited. And typically, only a small subset of domain users actually ends up having credentials cached on any given IODC. Therefore, in the event that the IODC is stolen, then only those credentials that are cached have the potential of being cracked. You don't have to have this this option enabled. You can actually disable the credential caching capability, which will further limit your exposure. Unfortunately, it results in all of your authentication requests being forwarded to the writable domain controller, which may impact your bandwidth. An administrator can modify the default password replication policy to allow the user's credentials to be cached at the RODC. It's a very cool solution.
Beth, who should be managing a read-only domain controller?
Well, you can delegate the local administration role of an RODC to any domain user. Now, the key here is that you can do it without granting that user any user rights for the domain or to any of the other domain controllers. This permits a local branch user to log on to an RODC and perform maintenance work on that server, such as upgrading a driver, something like that. However, the branch user can't log on to any other domain controller or perform any other administrative tasks in the domain. In this way, the branch user can be delegated the ability to effectively manage the RODC in the branch office without compromising the security of the rest of the domain.
Does the RODC have an impact on a networking environment?
A little bit, but it's a positive impact. Because no changes are written directly to the RODC, then no changes are actually originating at the RODC. Therefore, your writable domain controllers that are replication partners don't have to pull changes from the RODC. What this does is reduces the workload of your bridgehead servers in your hub environments and also the effort required to monitor replication. The RODC uses unidirectional replication, and it applies to both the Active Directory domain services as well as to the distributed file system, or DFS, replication capabilities. The RODC will perform normal inbound replication for the Active Directory domain services and for the DFS replication changes.
Can an RODC also be a DNS server?
Oh, absolutely. You can install the DNS server service on an RODC, and it will be able to replicate all of the application directory partitions that DNS uses, including your forest DNS zones and your domain DNS zones. If the DNS server is installed on an RODC, clients can query it for name resolution just as they would query any other DNS server. However, the DNS server on the RODC does not support client updates directly. Consequently, the RODC doesn't register the name server resource records for any of the Active Directory integrated zones that it hosts. when a client attempts to update its DNS records against the RDC, the server will return a referral, and the client can then attempt to update against the DNS server that is provided in that referral. In the background, the DNS server on the RODC actually attempts to replicate the updated record from the DNS server that made the update. This replication request is only for a single object, which is actually the DNS record. The entire list of the change zone or domain data does not get replicated during that special replicate single object request.
Beth, we've got time for one more question. As we wrap things up here, can you tell listeners what are the prerequisites for setting up a read-only domain controller?
Yeah, there are a few things that you need to do. First of all, the domain controller that holds the PDC emulator operations master role for the domain must be running Windows Server 2008. This is necessary for creating the new Kerberos ticket granting account for the RODC and for the ongoing RODC operations. The RODC has to be able to forward authentication requests to the domain controller running Windows Server 2008. The password replication policy is set on that domain controller to determine if the credentials are replicated to the branch office for a forwarding request from the RODC. The next change is that the domain functional level has to be Windows Server 2003 or higher so that the Kerberos constrained delegation is available. The constrained delegation is used for the security calls that have to be impersonated under the context of the caller. And finally, the forest functional level has to be at Windows Server 2003 or higher. This is so that the linked value replication will be available. Linked value replication is providing a higher level of replication consistency. You have to run the AD prep utility using the /RODC prep switch. You do that once in the forest to update the permissions on all of your DNS application directory partitions in the forest. And that way, all of the RODCs that are also your DNS servers can replicate the permissions successfully.
Beth Quinlan, thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome. I appreciate being here.
For more materials in our Intrusion Defense School, visit certsecurity.com/intrusiondefenseschool. You can also listen to more of our podcasts on our podcast page at certsecurity.com/podcast. Thanks for joining us. I'm Billy Hurley. Have a great day.